This is Open Run.
Not bad.
Nailed it. Love it.
Okay, everyone. Welcome back to Open Run. There is no NBA season anymore. Last time we talked, it was midnight in the Garden of Game 5, and here we are. It's a bright new dawn in the Garden of, I don't know.
Free agency?
In the Garden of almost free agency. In the Garden of pre-draftness. Jesse, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing very, very well, actually. I'm trying to fight off a little bit of a cold or something, which I think might be my first of the year. I've done a pretty good job of not getting sick in the last year or so, but now I'm just fighting off a little tickle, I think, from a lot of air travel, a lot of circulated air.
Like, part of me, if I'm able to carve out the time, can still get the little kid joy of being sick, where it's like, oh, okay.
Right.
I'm going to take the day. For you, functionally, this is, like, could you do that right now or not so much?
No. My day off is, I've had 4 meetings today, test drove a car, have the pod, and had a director FaceTime today, and then a producer conference call, and 4 other conference calls. Yeah, this is my day. That's my day off.
And this is a day off. Yeah, that's a good day. But you can't actually be out of commission.
Yeah, you totally can. The world will not stop. People are just gonna have to wait. It totally can, but I'm not good at turning off. I'm a workaholic, but I have gotten better recently with, being able to call time out, and you know what, that's not an emergency.
You know, there's no real off season for NBA fans anymore. And so once the season ended, we went right into parade season, and the Golden State Warriors, after sweeping the Cavs, and we'll have things to say about that, but after completing the sweep, they had their parade. And I was thinking, it seemed like, just from the social media kind of breaking down of it, it felt like there was a 3-way tie for championship parade king between Jordan Bell, Swag Champ, artist formerly known as Swaggy P, and Draymond. Now, are you up to speed on all the hijinks?
Why each of them are
going to get medals?
Well, give me 2 things I need, which is, so Swaggy officially changed his moniker.
Yeah. Swaggy has now been saying, I've noticed a pattern ever since he was with us at ComplexCon and he told us that his nickname came to him in a dream. I feel like he's just keeps telling everybody everything came to him in a dream. So either he's an avid dreamer, or that's just the go-to, but
because you know, it went over so well with us that he's like, oh, people like that.
Yeah, people like hearing about my dreams. No, but he seemed to take like the J.R. Smith baton, where he was just shirtless joy incarnate once they won the championship. Mm-hmm. You know, like shirt came off and it's gone for the summer, it seems like. And he officially changed his name and just, you know, the amount of joy and the amount of like champagne getting sprayed on the crowd is just infinite. So there's that. And then there's Jordan Bell, who ran out of booze on the bus. I wanted to say float. And he's kind of motioning to the crowd that he's out. And it's an empty bottle of Hennessy. And he goes to the crowd. I guess someone called him over to like refill his cup. And he went to the crowd and he got another bottle from them, I think. So he made it really communal, which is great. And then Draymond just had he was coming in like trolling hard. He had the t-shirt.
Well, he's established that.
Yeah. If you didn't see, he had the t-shirt that's like the, I'm old, is it Arthur?
The Arthur, the it's clenched like the Arthur meme. Yeah, the Arthur clenched fist meme, which has been used so many different ways.
He keeps these things. He remembers these things. He remembers that LeBron wore the Ultimate Warrior t-shirt, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, technically, did LeBron start it?
Maybe, yeah. With Draymond? I don't know. But Draymond is very good at continuing it. And then there's also this other thing, which I'm not even sure where it lands, where he made sure to be really public about the fact that he was like, basically doing the good game thing to everybody on the Cavs, except he refused to do it to Tristan Thompson. And at the parade, he's told someone,
"There's a lot of guys in this league. They soft. We just come from a different club.
That's real.
That's all I really got from you.
That's real. That's as real
he
as it gets.
Got off the bus, man. I love
Drop
him.
The mic.
We just ain't cut the same. I told one of them dudes from Cavs after the game, he tried to shake my hand. I said, Tristan, we ain't cut the same."
I wonder what that's – is that just some like under the boards type of thing, or is that some one can never know?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a diss because of some off the course shit. It could have been a name saying name almost could have been accidental, but he's a clever dude, so probably not.
But that all said, who takes the cake for you?
That
for,
said,
for Puerto King.
What happened with Jordan Bell though?
Oh, just the Hennessy bottle, the booze situation.
Oh yeah, right.
And then
right,
at one point, yeah.
Of course,
just
of course.
I say Draymond.
I like Draymond because it's tied to a longer thread, an ongoing thread for years of some like trolling, some directly to your face. You know, Draymond is one of the more he talks shit on many different levels. Some people are always passive aggressive or sneak disses. Some people are, you know, super emotional. He's all of those things. He can be super emotional. He can be very heady and controlled and planned. And he could plan his first day of school outfit 5 days in advance to fucking set you on fire during the parade. He can do it all. The guy is a utility tool of great ways to keep that, you know, and let you know he's about that action.
Yeah. He also has like a longstanding record of parade, of top-notch parade behavior. Like when he's giving his extended speech at the podium with no voice. I don't know if that was year one or year two. And he's, you know, he's kind of like alluding to the fact that maybe the Warriors front office like wants to contain him, but it's not going to happen. Yeah. Yeah. You're both like, it's like an award ceremony where you're rewarding this performance, but also the body of work.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Well, that it connects to, it's like, I love this short story, but I also love that this short story fits nicely into the established theme of his previous 10 short stories.
Yes,
so it still stands
up
on its own. It works. It's independent work. It's solid.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. So it's like the three Warriors parades are at Draymond's before sunrise, before sunset. Before
yes. Yes, exactly.
Do you have any resonant finals feelings? Because, you know, I always love to see things like this. People on Twitter and Instagram commenting like, "Where you guys been? We need to talk about the finals." Like missing us during the finals because, you know, we kind of kept that. We kind of kept off the mic for the duration of the sweep. And now that we're back, do you have any resonant thoughts? Do you have any new epiphanies having seen this?
No, man. It was... After game one, it was sad to see. It was, I just want LeBron to be happy, man. I just want him to go somewhere where we can see him get over the hump. The Warriors did their thing. They, you know, they balled out. It's not a cakewalk. They don't automatically win. They could have gotten beat. Shit, Kobe beat the Celtics when they had Ray Allen and Rondo and Paul Pierce and, you know, like it just because the team has all stars on it doesn't mean they automatically win. They had to beat LeBron every day. But again, so I don't want to take anything away from them. But I kind of wanted it to, at a certain point after game one, after we finished game two and established that this is how it's going to be, I wanted it to just be over so we can get to the free agency.
Yeah, I know. That's what's so strange. Like I've been writing with friends noting that. The seasons, like postseasons have their moments. Like I loved these playoffs, especially the first round and the conference finals. But then the finals were just, you know, a drag. And it's interesting how the off season holds more excitement than the fucking finals, which is very weird. And on that note, though, I do want to say today on the Open Run Instagram, whoever runs that account finally really succumbed to all of this. What is LeBron going to do? What do we want him to do?
What do we want him to do? Yeah.
Right. So, because the prediction is one thing, because who knows what's going on in his head. But I think it's more interesting right now to think about where might we want him to land. And to me, three places emerge. I guess Houston would be the fourth, but Philly, San Antonio, Houston, and the Lakers. I know the Celtics gets mentioned and every other team gets mentioned, but those are the ones that loom largest to me, with a wild card, by the way, of the Pelicans, which won't happen, but is the one I want him to do. Mm-hmm. But of those, I think that he should probably go to the Spurs, especially because there was news recently that, you know, news meaning sources say to Woj that Pop may only be with the Spurs another year or two. There's a chance that he doesn't coach past the next Olympic team and that he may even stop after this next season so he can focus on prepping for the Olympic team. And those guys always have such public love fests. It feels like after this fiasco with game one and whatnot, that all LeBron wants is like to go to a basketball brain trust and just be in good hands that way.
But who's he going to play with in San Antonio?
Well, if Kawhi stays... I think it's then you see which free agent convince. Right. So does Paul George join him there? Does he somehow suggest Chris Paul commutes like a few hours? And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, it's like Chris Paul George, LeBron, Kawhi. You can't do those four, but Chris Paul, LeBron, Kawhi.
Every scenario that puts almost every scenario that puts LeBron somewhere puts him with Paul George, right? I like George, Kawhi, and LeBron in LA. I think that LeBron could and should be doing, it's always easy to spend other people's money, is what LeBron could fucking take a $1 a year salary somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't, at this point, that would be some unprecedented crazy shit. If you just go somewhere for free and let them use that money to get a gang of other dudes and just kill it.
That would be amazing to really go extreme. It's like if you paid $1 on Price is Right.
Yeah. Just bid a $1 1 year deal to LA. You would have to, Kawhi's not a free agent, so you have to trade for him.
Yeah.
Paul George is a free agent, right?
Yes. And then there's murmurings that he'll stay in OKC. All of this is conjecture though. I think he'd be tempted as hell to go to LA. And also, by the way, I say the Spurs is the most exciting to me or the most fitting, but when I see the Photoshop of LeBron in the Lakers jersey, it is tantalizing. You do like the idea of that team being a real force again. People think that might happen. Gary Payton leaked a rumor that turned out not to be true, that LeBron Jr. was signed up to go to a school down there, and everyone's arguing, why are we worried about height? Since when did high school players commit publicly? Anyway, wait, so the prediction part is BS.
That story came from The Glove?
The Glove was being interviewed for like a web series, or I don't know who was with, and he said that he had heard that LeBron's son had committed to Sierra Canyon, something like that. But wait, for LA stuff, there was this like pseudo beef that seems to just be fictional. Just quote unquote.
Oh, tell me about this beef.
Yes.
This is the
winding road to our shame or fame this week, dusting off shame or fame, which is Lonzo, after dropping a big baller brand track, by the way, where he was rapping Bibi B, Bibi B. Now he did a song. This. Yeah. Now he did a diss track called Kylie Kuzma.
Who are you without ZO2? Just another dude with a bunch of tattoos. You ain't got no shoe, Nike wins, cools lose. Claiming that I can't shoot, but all these words is hitting you. Boy, you talking crazy. Why you trying to play me?
So there's all this stuff, like, they always go back and forth. They were going back and forth a lot during the season. It seemed playful enough.
Right.
The one thing I'm not in love with is don't know who your daddy is. Well, your ass is getting sunned. Because Kuzma apparently is not, never met his biological dad.
Oh, well, that's then this is not,
I don't, not in love with that one, but the vibe, supposedly the Lakers told them to stop like with the public roasting, and supposedly they're actually not on bad terms and it's okay.
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know why
LA, the Lakers saying they don't like it
because they're likely, you know, they're like, we don't want We want it to look like a smooth sail over here for LeBron. We don't want any weirdness, exactly. Right? If we're trying to attract. So it's like the Lakers supposedly have spoken to Ball and Kuzma about toning down their feud following this rap song. This according to Ramona Shelburne, who is a great reporter and plugged in. So this is no longer fourth hand news. Kuzma's mother reacted to the song on Twitter, telling her son and Lonzo, this is what she wrote. Kuz mama tweeted, "Everyone said they're fun. Now get back to work." So yeah, basically Jesse, shame or fame, Lonzo Ball putting out a diss track about his own teammate called Kyle Kuzma.
By definition, this is fame. I did, but I think that it's got to be, the intention isn't good fun. I don't think Lonzo's like want smoke like that. I don't think he's like, let me have a fucking full on beef with my teammate and create some real light skin violence in the off season. I think that I think they must be just homies digging at each other. If they've already established that as like a thing they do, I'm going fame. Go for it, buddy.
Look, as a devout Pusha T fan, I can't, you know, I'll be living in a glass house if I start saying it's shame because of like a dad related lyric. But at the same time, I'm leaning shame because I'm not in love with like trying to go hard at someone who you then have to suit up with later. And I know it's a joke, but I also am maybe a friend who's gotten a little heated in the past and made one comment too many. Maybe you live, you know, like my friend Joe Public said, you live and learn. And so, so I don't know if it's a great idea. I'm not totally on board with the Big Baller Brand rap aesthetic. I'm not really dialing a triple B on my Spotify.
I can't wait to hear the song because reading the lyrics, it's like, it's so basic. It's adorable. It's really great. You know, like it's just like rhyme for rhyme, like it for the culture. Your squad is vultures. Sentence, peasant, independent, reinvented. Like it's right. There's no terrain here. But
the way you're rapping, it sounds like it's a Curtis Blow song or something. But it's definitely done. It's not done right, in that right. total style. I'm into that.
On my feet, on Kyle Kuzma said, "Don't lose my keys when you come back under the mat. I'm gonna get a sandwich. Picture that." It's like,
dude, my real shame or fame. You notice whenever I introduce a shame or fame, I decide every other talking point becomes a shame or fame. Yeah. My heavy shame, there's no debate. My heavy shame is for another point guard, this time from the Eastern Conference, perhaps the preeminent point guard in the Eastern Conference until Frank Ntilikina takes the throne. Kyrie Irving.
Talking about my boy Kyrie.
Kyrie doubling down to the New York Times. That's right. The gray lady. That's right. The paper of record. And saying that he basically, he's like doubling down on his willingness to embrace conspiracy theories. The reporter even brings up the fact that kids may be, you know, influenced by the fact that, or kids have been influenced by the fact that he thinks the earth is flat and that isn't enough to make him recant. I'm just going on the record. It's irresponsible. And it's dangerous and it's stupid. Oh, shame, shame, shame. It's really a bad time to be doing this. I can't get into it. And that's all I got. I mean, my dad, you should hear my dad. I didn't even tell him about the latest interview. When he first brought it up, my dad was beside himself.
He goes 0-60. Anyway, your dad, does it just heat up? Does it just cook his kettle?
It cooks his kettle. And then by extension, it's like, you know, the DNA starts firing up within me. And I just, whatever that means. That was a very Kyrie statement. The neurons start firing. I just don't like it. It's a very like.
I'm looking for the full quote. I saw it in the top, but I'm looking to drag down here because.
Oh yeah, you.
Okay, here we go. National Public Radio. There was a middle school teacher who couldn't convince his students the Earth was round because the students believed you. Oh, actually, let me back it up. Okay.
Okay.
Let me back that
Go for it.
He said, the interviewer said, I gotta ask, and you know you get. I mean, I know you get asked about.
Wait,
this
I'll often. Be the interviewer here. I'll be the interviewer. Okay, okay. I've got to ask, and I know you get asked about this quite often. Is that why you made suggestions about the Earth being flat? Is it a part of you wanting to be different?
No, no. I'd say it at the time when I was talking about it. I had literally just been given so much flack about what I felt, the way the shape of the Earth is. And it garnered so many different opinions. Well, of course, the perception was going to be like, hey, man, you're just crazy, man, for thinking that. What I would say is that just exemplified exactly what I meant on the intent of wanting to be different. Because when you think something completely different, science has proven it. Everyone has thought and believed this to be true. Then you say something on the opposite side and gets a reaction that's not necessarily authentic at all. There's just a, hey, let's not get this preconceived notion about who he is as a person. You have no idea. I really wanted to put that on the biggest stage of now it becomes your side versus my side. At the end of the day, does it really matter? End quote. I need a IV to get fluids back, and then I'm going to keep going. This is actually really astounding.
You want to keep
I'm
going
really
with
surprised.
This?
Please ask me another. Yes, please continue.
Okay, well, Mr. Irving, National Public Radio did a story about this, and there was a middle school teacher who couldn't convince his students the Earth was round because the students believe you. And there's laughter here.
Ha 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 ha. Are you
aware of that? Sorry, I telegraphed that to the audience. Are you aware of that? If so, that would be, in theory, a concrete example of where those words might matter, right?
Oh, yeah. No. And I absolutely agree. Which is why research and why history has shown that even having opposing sides, I mean, history has shown, even back then, our biggest scholars did think the Earth was flat. It didn't just spark out of nowhere, out of anywhere, and then everyone just got into their own groups. Definitely different scientists have come along and proved the law of gravity. Everything that science breeds, and you have specific scientists that are giving all this information, by the way. I wanted to open up the conversation like, hey man, do your own research for what you want to believe in. Our educational system is flawed, okay? History has been changed throughout so much time. I literally got that from what they did to Nikola Tesla, of what he was trying to do for just an incredible world. I could just go on and on about this stuff, man.
Yeah, yeah, we're aware here. Okay, so you've been coy about what you really believe, so I'm hoping you'll clarify here. So this is where the donuts get made, by the way. Do you or do you not believe the Earth is flat? Or do you not know?
Generous offering at the end there. That's what I'm asking you. No, no, no. Can you openly admit that you know the Earth is constitutionally round? Like, you know that for sure. Like, I don't know. I was never trying to convince anyone that the world is flat. I'm not being an advocate for the world being completely flat. No, I don't. No, I really don't. It's fun to think about, though. It's fun to have that conversation. It's absolutely fun because people get so agitated and mad. They're like, hey, man, you can't believe that, man. It's religious, man. It's just science. And you can't believe anything else. Okay? Cool. Well, explain to me. Give me what you've known about the Earth and your research, and I love it. I love talking about it.
Give me what you've known about the Earth and your research, and I love it. This is really something. Well, I would push back and say that there's a real picture of the Earth taken by astronauts. Do you not believe that picture is real?
No, I'm actually, yeah. Like I said, I do research on both sides. I'm not against anyone that thinks the Earth is round. I'm not against anyone that thinks it's flat. I just love hearing the debate. It's fun to talk about.
Oh, it's not. It's not fun to talk about. It's not. That's me, not the reporter. No, but I'm asking you, do you believe the pictures that exist taken by the astronauts? Do you not believe those pictures are real?
I feel like now you're asking me if I'm now grouping myself with conspiracy theorists that believe that everything that's come out about the Earth being round is completely fake.
Oh my God. No, no, I don't know.
I don't limit that to not being real. You know what I'm saying? I haven't convinced myself all the way, like everything that has been given to us is fake. No. But you also know that a lot of history has been distorted over time. That's something that I'm always aware of. I'm not against it all.
Yeah, I don't want to misrepresent what you're saying here. So just to clarify, you don't know whether the Earth is round. You don't know whether it's flat. You're just open to having the discussion about it.
Absolutely. It's fun for me, man. It's mentally stimulating to hear because there absolutely are scientists or engineers that have said, hey, man, I believe the Earth is flat. But then, of course, utilizing an exploitation tactic of utilizing my name and who I am, and all of a sudden it turns into a bigger thing, you know, which is fine. That's the way our society works. It is what it is. I don't mind.
I mean, this is just like, there's a lot more, by the way. It continues to circle. The plane, he keeps circling the plane. And
this is, it eventually does then. This is, this is my first time reading it, so I'm riveted.
There's more, but it's like a lot more. And he doesn't hit any final conclusion except to dance like this. And it does remind me of a problematic song lyric that I recently heard. It's by a guy by the name of Kanye West, who has a new album out. I don't know if you heard. And it opens with a song called I Thought About Killing You. And in the song, he says, people say, don't say this, don't say that. Just say it out loud just to see how it feels.
Yeah.
And like, I don't think that's the mantra, man. I don't think that should be the mantra. And I think that world's worst advice. And this thing of, and this, by the way, feels like
freedom.
Yes. And like, yeah. Oh, there's so much repackaging of things and repackaging of motives and ideas. Like that song is totally just like narcissism repackaged and sold as like brazen, bold truth. And it's like, I don't know, man. And with this one, this is a very, it just feels like a very
modern problem. I'm all for, and well, yeah, we're in the Instagram short bit, short form, ignorance disguised as freedom, hustle, which is a way to like, the conclusion is, or the place you find yourself is, you know, I don't know something. So I go, knowing things isn't so important. It's more important how you feel. As opposed to coming from neutral, which is like, gosh, I really should value, we value a little too much about like a concrete information, and we should also have our sensibilities and our chakras and our being open to feeling and space and other people's emotions, and we should just live a balanced life. As that, like, that's a holistic journey without a destination in mind, maybe, as opposed to this fucking, it's just excuses for not knowing anything and pretending that taking a counter opinion for the sake of being counter is interesting inherently, and that by being provocative and by like poking somebody with a stick, you're having a quote like conversation or debate. Like, these are words with definitions. Like, it's not a debate.
Yes. So you enjoy agitating people. You, dude, it's also like if you got invited to do a speech and it's all just the phrases you use between statements. So you like walk up to the podium and you're like,
oh, well, this is, dude.
Be that as it may. Whatever.
Reading this aloud, it makes me what we have to post. And I posted it once before. It's Fred Armisen's character of the topical comedian who reads the New York Times on Weekend Update.
Yes. Yes.
That brilliant character. Just because like, you don't know.
I wake up like anybody. Most Americans, you education, any border, if Helsinki, if Oslo, I think any publication, we would, isn't it?
You know, I don't, why is it that, you know, I gotta say, polar bears, you know, and this is always the thing, is that like art for art's sake, aloe vera has never.
Dude, that one hits hard because it's so realistic.
Yeah, that's what we just read. Just
people,
like,
yeah.
Ram,
so I don't want this to cloud the fact, like, obviously, as I know you do, I admire the shit out of this guy's abilities. And the thing here is not, it's more just the laziness and the willingness to, or the eagerness to agitate, as though agitation is a sign of success, of intellectual success. And then like casually dropping Tesla.
I think that there is a, yeah, that's reminiscent of somebody else. Well, so many people. but I will say, Kyrie is my favorite probably my favorite point guard, and definitely in the East. And my one, you know, one of my top two or three point guards in the league. I think that he's well-meaning, and none of this is like, I don't think it's as narcissistic and mustache twisting and self-obsessed and involved as Ye. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the, he doesn't have I'll fucking push anybody down the chute to get what I want. He doesn't have a mean-spirited thing about him. I don't get that impression from Kyrie. I actually think he's probably a phrase I like to use, like a lovely guy. He seems like a really good dude. He's just, I think he's wrong and reckless on this. I know he's wrong and reckless on this. But I think that he's, you know, trying to grow and could be malleable. I'm surprised that so much time has gone by and we're still like struggling with this kind of conversation. I'm pretty surprised because it's been over a year since that like locker room Earth is flat thing, right?
It's been, I believe so. It feels like it's been 100 years.
Yeah, this is a pretty astounding lack of progress.
I mean, look, Jesse, it's rough because it reminds me of that really weird interview he did on First Take back, I think, shortly after the trade, had been demanded, right, or during the process. And it was this very strange talking around.
There seems to be a joy in like circuitous conversation and dodging as if that is the accomplishment, if not the ultimate goal.
And thinking it's a like good that look when it's a really bad look. Like, it seems like he has these smarmy moments of like, I've got you there. Yeah. And it's like, whoa, yeah, you don't have anybody. This is just really strange.
Well, you know, and in the pieces that we just read where he's like, you know, it's fun for me. It's mentally stimulating to hear, you know, what people have said. And it's kind of like, is it like, I would like a deeper dive. Like, okay, cool. Like what I would say, I love history. It's mentally stimulating. Okay. What do you mean by that? What's stimulating? It's stimulating to understand context for how we are, where we are, and the way this, you know, why we live on a grid in New York City, how city planning is done, how irrigation is done. I had no idea that the name for the derogatory term for Italians was WAPS, and that stands for without papers. That's learning history helps you understand why we say things like that, what these terms mean, how, you know, things are constructed. Like, I'm starting to answer the question. I'm explaining what piques my interest and giving examples of what I'm referring to when I use a broader term like mentally stimulating. For him, like, are you? I just don't get any impression that there is any reading, that there's any, what is the mental stimulus outside of this slogan versus that slogan with a false equivalency that we're allowed to have two sides on everything.
And also, I think it might be more mentally stimulating to go sit with people at NASA and like check out what's going on in the solar system.
Sit with you're looking at it with your own eyes at a telescope at the only planetary bodies that you've ever seen with your own eye are round. The sun and the moon and Mars.
This pleases him. Me being agitated. This brings him joy.
Everything else is round, and we're just a pancake laying around.
Dude,
yeah.
So that, friends, is your NBA Finals wrap-up.
There we go. Because really, I wanted was Kyrie in the finals. Kyrie in the finals.
Seriously. And also, by the way, Kyrie was asked, you know, about the possibility of LeBron joining the Celtics. And he was really kind of tepid about it. Like, well, we'll have to see what decision management makes.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That ship is, it hasn't even sailed. It's like, it's not even, I don't think it's even seaworthy anymore.
Would the Cavs have been able to win this year if they had Kyrie?
They would have won game one, I guess. Would they have won the finals against the Warriors?
Could they have won the finals against the Warriors with Kyrie?
I think it's one of those things where when you run a simulation like 1 out of 7 billion times, it works. I don't think they would.
Right.
I'm curious what would have happened if they'd won game one in this alignment. Would the series just have gone 5 instead of 4, or could they have then won 1 in Cleveland and then it would go 6?
I don't think it's winnable. I think there's just not, the hearts were not strong enough. You need heart and skill, and I don't think they just, skill is most important, and they didn't have it.
They just didn't have it.
Yeah. I never regret doing dramatic readings on our show, and I think we should do more of them.
I always get worried that maybe, because I get really into it, and then I think, oh, maybe I'm too into it, and Jesse's just following my lead. And then whenever I go to stop, I find out you want to keep going. So this is, you know?
I think also our listeners, you know, they're driving, they're moving around, they're folding their laundry, they're pooping, you know, whatever they're doing.
Right.
We just could have saved them all the time of reading the whole, you know, we're saving you time of reading the whole article and stories. Because what we're trying to do while we mock the intelligence of others is try to keep people from reading. And we'll summarize it for you. The actual facts are not as important. Let us, our interpretation of it.
Yeah, let's do an abbreviated audio version of an article that's already a really short Q&A. And you can half listen while doing something else.
While we intermingle quotes and end quote and add our own commentary within the quotes.
All right, let's take a quick break for a word about Uninterrupted's series, The Sixth Sense. So you know Jesse and I are great teammates, even though our favorite teams were bitter rivals in the 90s. But the best of teammates overcome hiccups like that and find ways to effectively work together both on and off the court, or on and off the pod in this case. Uninterrupted's teaming up with State Farm to bring you The Sixth Sense, where teammates like Draymond Green and Nick Young showcase that unique teammate connection that helps them get each other like no other and leads to highlights and wins. Check it out at youtube.com/uninterrupted and get a teammate or a State Farm agent that gets you like Dre and Swaggy P. But another thing we've been doing this week, and it's going to bleed into next week in the run-up to our own draft preview, is we have been doing a draft preview with longtime listener and friend of the show, Kyle Mann. He's at J. Kyle Mann on the old social channels. This is somebody who has been emailing with your Open Run host since day two of the show, just, you know, expressing excitement and support, who then, you know, mentions that he's maybe going to start this channel. And now he's got this thing called the Dime Drop on YouTube that's got the internet going nuts. And he's been making these incredible scouting videos. I know we talked about him maybe last episode. And so we figured, why wouldn't we do a little collab with him? There's a hashtag even, my goodness. Just Open Run X Dime Drop. And
that's how you know we're serious.
Yeah.
Hashtag Open Run X Dime Drop.
Yeah, like Open Run times Dime Drop. And if you put that in on Twitter and Instagram, you'll find every single thing we're doing. And this is just so people can have a well-rounded perspective on all the projected lottery picks going into next week's draft. And we'll have him on to kind of break down what informs his opinions and how, if they've evolved. But I'm having a lot of fun with it, man, because I'm actually like starting to actually get the handle of this. And there are players who I was really in on who I'm maybe less so, and then vice versa. So yeah, that's right. The update on this end. And then I don't know. And by the way, our two teams, the Bulls and the Knicks, have real, this is a deep draft. So at 7 and 9, there's a lot of shit that could happen. So we actually have a lot of skin in this game, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Only up from here, baby. Yo, I was
from here.
I was wearing, I've actually worn for the last, I think, 2 days in a row, my a new shirt that arrived with my beloved Chicago Bulls logo atop.
Oh, is it the psychedelic
Grateful
one?
Dead. Yeah, the Grateful Dead logo, the Grateful Dead shirt. But on the back it says, "They're dancing in Chicago." And with all of our...
This is a should I buy this, and you bought it.
Yep, bought it live on the show.
Garrett. That was a Garrett Colton original.
That was a Garrett
Colton?
Well,
that's a suggestion, I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He knows his stuff.
You know, actually, dude, on that note, I wanted to tell you, I got something in the mail that I think you may have had a little hand in that I was wearing today, my new favorite shorts, which I had been...
You got them?
I'd been lusting after on Instagram and expressing affection for, For All to Envy's new J.R. Ryder shorts. Why did those land here? I had talked to them about it, and I wasn't sure what the story was, and then they landed in my house.
And you got a couple, there was like two other things with it, right?
Well, I got also the, yeah, the Ill Like Just Paul's Boutique dress. Windbreaker jacket.
Yes. So our guys at For All to Envy, our shop, I'm sure they have a website as well, but their shop on La Brea, just below Beverly. I'm not sure I get that right. For All to Envy, dope vintage memorabilia, dope vintage clothes, kind of leaning towards sports and culture, hip hop culture and music culture shop. We get a lot of stuff there. They make their own line of stuff and they have amazing vintage stuff. But when I was there one time, he made sure to say, get this to your boy Stefan. He loved these shorts.
Oh, yeah.
But what happened was, that was a long time ago, and my assistant sent them to my mom's house. So my mom sent me a picture, I want to say, wearing your shorts and t-shirt. Like, what the fuck is this?
Why haven't you sent me that picture?
I know. That would be amazing.
Yeah. That's why Instagram exists, Jesse.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So she sent me – so she got a whole freaking pack of Stefan's gear. And didn't know why.
Man, big perk of the show.
So we had to have them.
Random gems in my mailbox. Dude, they're great. They're as good as I'd hoped. And For All to Envy, it's just foralltoenvy.com and at For All to Envy, spelled out T-O, on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that place is great. You brought me there years ago and I was all into it. And also they have like the Wall of Fame t-shirts that I remember when I first went, I like naively tried. I was like, how much for this, you know, Mobb Deep shirt? And it's like, you know, like, you know, 27 gold bars was the real answer. They have like some beautiful old stuff there. So anyway, you should all go. It's glorious. And actually, that leaves me with one last question on that note about wearing things.
Yeah.
Someone I know texted today the question of, is it okay, like to a group chat about sports? She asked, is it okay? What's the stance on wearing other teams' merch? And then she said,
if you have your own team?
She said, she said the stipulation was it's not a rival, but just like another team. Mm. Like, for instance, After going to Governor's Ball, there was a little NBA booth, and I came back with a couple of hats that I really like. They were out of Knicks hats, but they were, you know, there was like a little gifting thing backstage.
They were out of Knicks hats. He qualifies it with, they were out of Knicks hat.
I mean, I tried to get yet another Knicks hat, and so I came back with a Pelicans hat and a Jazz hat, two of my favorite teams in the playoffs this year. Pelicans have kind of become my home away from home team. I don't even worry about having that, but let's say a Jazz hat. I'm going to put on a Utah Jazz hat, walk around. I mean, you have a Stockton shirt that's really rad, but that's a little different. Like,
well, but I'm a less of a diehard than you. Like, and I don't, your thing is, not only am I, it's not so much about that. You live in your city.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're born and raised in New York. You live in New York. So walking around with a different team, you're going to get called out. Like you're in enemy territory by being at home, you know, like me, I'm a nomad and I moved around. I've lived several places and I don't live in my home, in my birthplace. So nobody's going to call me out on, I'm not going to feel shame and like slinking in the shadows because of it. But also, yeah, like that's a Stockton shirt, not a Jazz shirt. You didn't say you got a Stockton hat, like you got a Jazz hat. If you're wearing, it's not vintage.
It's new. It's like a current hat. That feels weird to me.
Right. But like, if you wore a Boogie Cousins jersey, I think it's okay because we know you're wearing a Boogie Cousins jersey, not a Pelicans jersey. Like, I don't. My first guess isn't, oh, you're from New Orleans. You're a Pelicans fan. No, I think you just have good taste and great big men.
Put it this way: I tried at one point that very same jacket that I gifted to our man Dave Hartley. I one time wore it just to see how it would feel. I was walking around town. Uh-huh. It's a Chalkline Barkley jacket. And I was like, I feel like a poser because the Sixers are like in vogue now. I was like, this is problematic. Right. I don't know. I can wear a Bo Jackson Raiders shirt, things like that's different. But Anyway, yeah, I think you've delineated. I think you've isolated the issue there. I will say also, GovBall, the experience of getting to see Pusha T was very thrilling. Finding out that as he rapped, it's been noted he raps about clicking like Golden State. I did divine through some serious reportage at GovBall that Push has moved on from being a Celtics fan and is a Warriors fan. And he, I'm imagining, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he may land in the Dave Hartley camp of kind of hoops agnostic, where there's sort of you're roving the wilderness, the wilds of the NBA, just following beauty. But hey, he'll have to go on the show.
That's what he said. I think he, let's get him to his, he's about the players. That's interesting. It is. He kind of attributed it to like the new, that's just the way it is now. You know, it wasn't,
he's a realist.
Like, I've stood out and this is just the reality. You can't be, is there more player movement now than there was in the 90s?
I'm hard pressed to say.
The way contracts are structured, are we just older and less physical, so we have to think more and wonk more?
Yeah, that too. No, I mean, I do. I think that people lament the degree of agency players have. So that's a problem for me. I feel like I'm talking out of both two sides of my mouth sometimes, because I actually am really into humans being able to control their fate. I'm not with the narrative of like, you know, just get in line, like stay in line, like that type of bullshit. But inevitably, when you're a fan, you're sitting at home, kind of like twiddling your thumbs, hoping the pieces fall into the place that you want. So this offseason could really stir a lot of shit up, because where LeBron goes will become a contender. Or if Paul George moves, that'll have a huge impact. If Kawhi leaves, huge impact. I know we've said all this, but and the Celtics, we haven't even seen them with Kyrie and Gordon Hayward on the floor at the same time. The Pacers randomly, like, basically should have beaten the Cavs. There's just a lot of interesting squads, and I think that these long seasons, these championship seasons, you know, do breed a special brand of fatigue. And as amazing as the Warriors are, it can't be guaranteed they're going to just, you know, win out.
Right.
Maybe they can, I don't know.
No, this next year, the Warriors will not win.
Whoa. Man, you came to open run for your hot
take. There will be a super team.
You think?
A super team will assemble in the offseason and in the first half of the season to take down the Warriors.
Well, Jesse, you want smoke? You can get it. Yes. Dressing for attention, trying to be Russell Westbrook, you just honorable mention.
Don't Kylie Kuzma me.
You ain't got the people.
I
you ain't
recognize
got the
those bars anywhere.
I don't know. I think the other reason that Lonzo thing is a shame situation for me is before you can be the real Triple B, you got to get the old Triple B, the Better Business Bureau, off your back. I think you can't be getting like a zero rating from the OG Triple B and out here, you know, being at me. The other question is,
well, honestly,
what?
Well, no, I was just going to say the truth is we're both taking shots, and the only difference is, you know, you ain't hitting none, and I usually do it for fun.
She thought you were talking.
Trust me, boy. I'm not the one. Yeah. This is followed by a questionable lyric, and I don't know what it means. If you're the bullet, I'm the gun. If you the pot, I'm cooking some. So you want me to, like, climb in you? I don't know. What
Yeah, one
what,
is the holder, and the next one is the –
Right. But if you want smoke, you can get it, dressing for attention. Anyway.
Want smoke.
This is like Lonzo and Kyrie should have a rap battle.
The title for this episode is slowly emerging in my brain now. Kyrie and Lonzo having a rap battle. Well, the other thing that puts them gives them a common thread, which I was actually going to ask you a minute ago, is I wonder if LeBron to LA works with or like is antithetical to the presence of Lonzo, meaning LeVar. I'm curious what it means that, you know.
Well, did you see what LeVar just said? He was just on somebody's show, and they were like, you know, look, you. What if LeBron? It's the off season of LeBron. What if he comes to? Well, first of all, he was like, yeah, you had all these predictions about how Lonzo was going to dominate this year, and that didn't happen. And now, everybody wants LeBron to come to LA. What are you going to say? How would that work? Because you had beef with LeBron, or he had beef with you because you were talking about his kid. Talking about his kid wasn't going to be good enough, and his kid wasn't going to be good, this and that. And he was like, no, look, I'll just pull LeBron aside and explain to him. I'll just explain to him that, that he's got to know that I forget what it was, but he lost me at, I'm going to explain to LeBron.
I'm going to pull him aside and explain to him.
But he was making it hot, like making it not a place. If they will, I mean, look, the Lakers will trade anybody to get LeBron James.
What if LeBron shows up to practice and the ball and the family camera crew is there being like,
yeah, that's no, there's no way he comes. I promise. This is another moderately room temperature take. Okay. Is LeBron does not come to the Lakers. If LeBron comes to the Lakers, the Ball family's not there.
That's what I was wondering if you were going to say.
Like, yeah, there's no way LeBron is walking into that circus. And that would derail all of the Ball's plans because they want all of them to be Lakers. So they would have to do a real serious come to Jesus and straighten the fuck out and stop putting on a media circus and apologize and promise like a commitment of silence.
Like a monastic vow of silence.
Yeah. In order for LeBron to come there. I mean, that would be crazy for him to do that. He doesn't. He's coming here to – he's trying to get rings and less stress, not more stress and a fucking spiral.
I mean, there was a game during the season where either at the end or, you know, close to the end, LeBron did one of those, I'm going to close talk to you and hold my jersey over my face conversations with Lonzo.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I don't think he holds it. I don't think he has any problems with Lonzo. I think he knows it's the dad. And the issue is when I say that about he's not coming there if Lonzo's there, it's not because of Lonzo.
So he's not coming there if LeVar is there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But which is and the reason, yeah, he's not he wouldn't come because of the pops. I mean, he doesn't want that.
Well, we shall see. Yeah. First things first, before we get to free agency, we get to the draft. So everyone stay tuned on our social channels. We've got all the draft preview content you could possibly need. And it will culminate with the next episode being a draft preview just in time for the draft itself. So that morning when you're, you know, doing the laundry or whatever else Jesse was outlining you might do on the can, you can have us in your ears talking draft. And then we're right into free agency, which will probably be madness. So Jesse says LeBron, you think LeBron will go to the Lakers, but you also think he won't go if LeVar is there. So are you doubly predicting? Are you saying LeBron will be a Laker and Lonzo will not be?
Yeah, I think that's likely.
If that's likely, does he get his friend Chris Paul to... Even though he had a close but no cigar situation in Houston, does he say, Chris, I know you were close, but fire up the banana boat. Let's do this.
I don't think Chris leaves Houston. I think he came there. Chris doesn't want to bounce around.
They could have won the title if he hadn't gotten injured.
Yeah, they built something amazing. They built something amazing, and I think that he would stay there. I think, you know, I'd love LeBron to go to Houston. You know, that would probably be my number one pick. Selfishly, I'd like LA because I'm in LA a lot, but I think it'd be more gangster to go to Houston. And you don't need to move mountains to go to Houston. You already have two good players. You go
you just
to
need
Houston
Daryl Morey
for
to,
free, and then
to move mountains to figure out how to get you over there. He's got to sweet talk somebody to take. Got to buy somebody a lot of peach schnapps to get them to take Ryan Anderson's contract. I don't know.
Somebody's got to trade for Boogie.
I don't want him to leave.
I don't want him to leave either, but I would think somebody should be trying to poach the greats.
I mean, already there's talk of the Warriors going to try to get Anthony Davis. Just people hypothesizing, not actual sourced anything, I don't think. But the Pelicans, man, I want New Orleans to have a great basketball team. City deserves whatever.
Yeah.
Everything good. I got so excited I said schnapps. Yeah, I might have to break open the bottle of schnapps tonight. Yeah.
Well, we were just in Stockholm and they have a schnapps. I went back and forth. Wait, not sure. Are you saying schnapps?
Well, they say schnapps.
Are you saying snoop? Snoop. No, it's like
snoops. The you mean like the tobacco snoop that you put in your mouth?
That's a tobacco. That's a lip. Yeah, that's back in a lip. No, she was saying schnapps because we were talking about aquavit. And somebody was trying to tell me, well, aquavit is more like a male drink and the girls drink like a schnapps. And I was like, schnapps? Like the schnapps that I know? And I could have made it go back.
Wait, so it was the schnapps we know or it's not?
We didn't reach a conclusion. I don't know.
So she's like the Kyrie Irving of off-brand liqueurs.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm floored. I'm silenced now. Now thinking back on the Kyrie situation, I got nothing. Everyone, go watch your draft videos. Do your homework. Do your damn homework. We'll see you here sometime next week to talk draft.
Study up. Read things from smart people. All right.
For more Open Run, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or visit openrunshow.com. And if you like being in the loop, follow us on Twitter and Instagram @openrun.